Tonight, the National Geographic Channel will broadcast a program called In the Name of Heaven. The hour-long documentary examines how Christians, Jews, Hindus, Buddhists, and Muslims discuss the concept heaven. Through personal stories from a Catholic priest working with gang members in East Los Angeles to a young Thai woman who left her husband and children to become a Buddhist monk, viewers learn that the nature of heaven varies from a peaceful, secure place in the future to a reason to continue living now. Documentarian John Scheinfeld joins us from NPR West. Thanks a lot for your time.
Well, thanks for the interest, Leanne.
So what got your interest in this? What was the genesis of this project for you?
Well, I had done a documentary for National Geographic Channel the year before called Tomb of Jesus, and I think they liked the approach I took, which is a fairly objective look at something that's very faith-based. And they said, we'd like to do something about heaven. I said, great, what? They said, we don't know. So, oh, okay. So I came up with a take that fascinated me, which is obviously we can't go to heaven. We can't shoot heaven on tape. And I didn't want to do a straight-ahead history either. So my notion was, how is heaven, the concept, manifest in the five great religions in the world today? And then how do some people live their lives to get there? Mm. I think a good example, Leanne, would be the whirling dervishes who we shot for our Islamic segment. Since 9/11, we've heard so much about the Islamic fundamentalists. And I thought it would be quite fascinating to show that there is, in fact, a different side, a more gentle side of Islam, a side that stresses tolerance and brotherhood and good works on this earth, as opposed to, say, a more violent vision.
So you went to see the whirling dervishes of the Sufi sect.
That's correct.
How were they about allowing access? I mean, this is a very private way of worship. These are traditionally very quiet and shy people. How embracing were they of you?
I think at first very suspicious. I think the fear amongst groups like that is that somehow they will be treated as oddities. And I'd written them a long letter, and I think the fact that I was coming from National Geographic Channel helped a good deal. National Geographic has a pretty terrific reputation around the world. But even then, we got to the hall, and they were getting ready to perform for us. And even then, they were still suspicious. They sat me down and with an interpreter because none of them really spoke English. And they said, well, what kind of questions are you going to ask us? And I started to ask the questions, and they saw that I was quite serious about this. And then they started to warm up and open up. And in fact, you talk about unique access. Most of the time when the dervishes are shot on tape or film, they allow the cameras to sort of shoot from an audience perspective towards the stage. But I think they felt so comfortable with us that they allowed us to get right in amongst them. And so for those people that will see the show, the camera is right in amongst the dancers. And it's an amazing perspective that they allowed us to have.
In Sema, we open our right hand toward the sky and we lower our left hand. The right hand receives the energy of God and the left transmits that energy to the people of Earth. We are the go-between. By whirling, we become a united whole with God. We give ourselves completely to Him.
Why did you go to the mountain Jews living in Azerbaijan, a predominantly Muslim country? I mean, why not go to Israel?
I thought that would be sort of the obvious thing to do. And I wanted to, much as with the Sufis, I wanted to take a different approach to the Jewish concept of heaven. And what fascinated me, quite honestly, is the fact that this community has been in the mountains of Azerbaijan for 2,500 years. I mean, that's really ancient by our standards. Not only have they been there that long, but their faith has sustained them that long, and their faith has sustained them while they are engulfed in a sea of Islam.
What is the notion of heaven for these mountain Jews?
Very much in the good deeds that you do on this earth. The Jewish concept of heaven is actually the oldest, if we're looking at it from a sort of monotheistic perspective. Around 1200, 1300 BCE, this notion of Sheol, S-H-E-O-L, came about, and it was the place where the dead went. The interesting thing was it didn't matter if you were a good person or a bad person. As long as you were dead, you went there. And about 600 years later, when the Jews were in captivity in Babylon, somebody started to say, you know, this is not really incentive to be good. And I think we need to change this. So the Jewish concept evolved a little bit to where Sheol kind of became a Hades, a hell sort of place, and the good people went to the right hand of God. And the Jewish concept has changed and evolved really over the last several thousand years to the point where, for most Jews, I think, whether here or in Azerbaijan, it's sort of marginal importance. The notion that most of us here in America have about heaven is a Christian notion of clouds and angels and harps and things like that. That's very much a Christian tradition, which, of course, came from the Jewish tradition.
In the documentary, we learn that there are almost as many Christian visions of heaven as there are Christians.
That's true.
And in fact, I mean, if you talk about a place, the phrase heaven on earth, the Christian that you examine is actually a Catholic priest, Father Gregory Boyle, and he's someone who's been working with gang members in East Los Angeles, putting them to work erasing graffiti and another jobs program. What does he say about heaven?
Well, first thing I should say about him, he's one of the most inspiring guys that I have ever met. And I think it's why the gang kids and the former gang kids respond to him so positively. But his notion to me was, as he expressed it to me, was quite unusual in the sense of he thinks the mistake that so many people make is that we keep our eye on the world to come and we miss the beauty in this world. Mm. And I think his emphasis to his flock, if you will, is very much keep your eye on today and the beauty in today and enjoy today for what it is and what it can be and what you can do here and what will come will come.
In Konya, Turkey, where you met the Sufis, we learn that their idea of heaven is a surrender to God, an abandonment of self. The dance allows one to do that. In Buddhism, too, there is a certain abandonment of the self, but you say there are as many as 33 heavens and none are the ultimate goal. They're an option.
In Buddhism, the ultimate goal is enlightenment, which is a spiritual thing for the spirit. But as you know, Leanne, in both Buddhism and Hinduism, they believe in reincarnation, so you keep coming back until you get this enlightenment thing right. And once your spirit leaves this earth, it can go to one of 33 heavens based on what lessons in life you need to learn or what spiritual experiences you need to have. And it's kind of more like a way station than a destination. And then you come back here and live another life and so on until you reach enlightenment, which is really sort of the release from this cycle of birth and death.
So in producing the documentary, tell us what you learned about the similarities and the differences in the concept of heaven.
What surprised me was within each religious group, there are many philosophies of heaven. There is no one way. If there were one perspective on heaven, we would have found it. And instead, there are many. And instead, even within each religion, there are many. And I think it teaches us, it should teach us, to be tolerant of others and lead the good life here. And that's what will determine whatever your future life is going to be.
John Scheinfeld's documentary, In the Name of Heaven, will air tonight on the National Geographic Channel. He joined us from NPR West. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Thanks. I enjoyed myself.